Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Thank President Minnis and the board for their invitation to speak. When President Minnis first reached out a couple of months ago, I had originally said no. You see, last year I gave the commencement address at my alma mater, Georgia Tech, and I felt that one graduation speech was more than enough, especially for someone who isn't a professional speaker. But of course, President Minnis used his gift of persuasion and spoke to the many challenges you all faced throughout the COVID fiasco, and how you missed out on so many milestones the rest of us older people have taken for granted.
Yeah, sounds like a monster. I can't believe they let this guy speak at a commencement address. Did you hear the horror in their voice when the crowd at the college reacted to Harrison Butker's speech? No, it's just, I had, we talked about this a little bit on the wrap on Friday, and I figured this continues to be such a topic of the internet's fascination. I thought we would address it a little bit more directly. I had watched the speech and just hadn't had a chance to, you know, carve up the audio to make it usable here on the show. But yeah, overall assessment of the speech, had some interesting thoughts. I didn't think it was that great of a speech, generally speaking, about, you know, how speeches get structured and whether they're persuasive and effective. The reason the speech got noticed is because he said some things that don't get said an awful lot in public. And, you know, some folks disagree with the viewpoint, and therefore they had hiss fit and could not believe that a Catholic would speak at a Catholic graduation and say, you know, Catholic things. How dare he? Which I think is hilarious. You know, when a black speaker goes to a black college and says black things, you think, oh, okay, you know, you don't even think about it. Why? Because it's just people's expression of their viewpoint. And so, you know, and who's Harrison Butker, the kicker for the Chiefs? Who cares? You know, he's not like some major world figure or whatever. The audacity, though, right? So I just want to give you a little bit of, you know, flavor for the context, and then we'll talk about the particular comments he made.
While COVID might have played a large role throughout your formative years, it is not unique. Bad policies and poor leadership have negatively impacted major life issues. Things like abortion, IVF, surrogacy, euthanasia, as well as a growing support for degenerate cultural values and media, all stem from the pervasiveness of disorder.
Now, if you're a believer in abortion and IVF and euthanasia, and you think that our current American cultural landscape is, God, it's just pristine and beautiful and wonderful, you know, you might hear that as a little bit controversial. On the other hand, if you're a social conservative or just a traditional Catholic, I have to say it that way because there are, I would say, non-traditional Catholics. You might call them, you know, heretics. But, you know, people who are Catholic but don't really believe in the traditional Catholic doctrines on social or ethical issues or other things as well. And Biden would fall into that category. He's not a traditional Catholic in that sense. And, you know, does that make him not a Catholic? Well, that's kind of the heart of the question, really. But, okay, disorder is at the heart of everything wrong we see. There's really nothing controversial in that unless you're so isolated from the viewpoint of social or religious conservatives that sounds crazy to you. That's your problem for hanging out with too many people who think like you and not hanging out with anybody who thinks like the other side, right? And so here's where he got into more of the direct, somewhat controversial. This isn't even really that big of a deal. It's just more, you know, people who clutch their pearls at these comments just more haven't been hanging around with anybody who disagrees with them.
Our own nation is led by a man who publicly and proudly proclaims his Catholic faith, but at the same time is delusional enough to make the sign of the cross during a pro-abortion rally.
That happened.
He has been so vocal in his support for the murder of innocent babies that I'm sure to many people, it appears that you can be both Catholic and pro-choice. He is not alone. From the man behind the COVID lockdowns, to the people pushing dangerous gender ideologies onto the youth of America, they all have a glaring thing in common. They are Catholic. This is an important reminder that being Catholic alone doesn't cut it.
And that's kind of the theme that he had was good Catholics, bad Catholics, Catholics who are not living up to their faith. And that's a really super standard thing for people of faith to talk about, is good Christians and bad Christians, you know, obedient and disobedient Christians, faithful and backsliders. I mean, this is to say that President Biden is not a good Catholic is, I mean, like the most bland of things for somebody to say about him who's a Catholic. Even for me, I'm not a Catholic. I don't think that Biden represents the Catholic Church very accurately. Many of his political positions are directly at odds with traditional Catholic teachings. So this just, it's just not controversial to say that. Now, to talk about abortion, again, not too controversial. Gender ideology, gender anarchy, the, you know, acronym agenda, all of that. I mean, of course. Again, unless you just hang around with people who only see things your way, there's nothing in this yet that's really that controversial.
As members of the church founded by Jesus Christ, it is our duty and ultimately privilege to be authentically and unapologetically Catholic. Don't be mistaken, even within the church, people in polite Catholic circles will try to persuade you to remain silent.
Yeah, and he goes on to talk about this film Silence that, you know, kind of depicts this priest who is accepted because he doesn't really push the boundaries or whatever. I haven't seen the picture, but, you know, okay. And that's exactly what's wrong with Catholicism, is that it tries to get along too much and it doesn't speak out. And
our Catholic faith has always been countercultural. Our Lord, along with countless followers, were all put to death for their adherence to her teachings.
Yeah, they didn't get executed because they went along. You know, they didn't get martyred because they got along real well with the Romans. You know, just, but again, you think of this as being, this is, again, just no surprise. There's nothing in this yet. Now, there's going to be minor eyebrow raising coming up in a moment. But I just wanted to give you some of the, again, context matters, right? A 20-minute speech, what gets reported on is about a minute and a half worth of comments about the role of women, and which is the nature of news, is not to tell the whole truth, to tell, you know, just a little bit of the truth and maybe not even that. But anyway, one of the other things he did throughout the speech was to criticize Catholic response to some things and how it shows a failure to understand the importance of the faith that, for him, stretches from everything from, you know, priestly roles to whether you should have a Latin Mass or not. He's a big believer in the traditional Latin Mass. And, you know, of course, that's an argument that goes back to Vatican II, at least. Anyway, but also how the reaction to COVID and its impact on performing the sacraments in the Catholic Church.
As we saw during the pandemic, too many bishops were not leaders at all. They were motivated by fear of being sued, fear of being removed, fear of being disliked. They showed by their actions, intentional or unintentional, that the sacraments don't actually matter. Because of this, countless people died alone without access to the sacraments, and it's a tragedy we must never forget. As Catholics, we can look to so many examples of heroic shepherds who gave their lives for their people, and ultimately, the church.
Yeah, and to make the point a little bit more exactly on target is because of reaction to COVID and wanting to spread to prevent the spread of the disease, lockdowns that went into place in some places and inhibition against religious services meant an inhibition against performing sacraments for Catholics in some places. Again, remember, not everywhere was Florida, right? There were a lot of places that did things very differently from Florida. And, you know, we didn't do it perfectly, but we did a lot better in terms of protecting freedom, including religious freedom, than other places, many of them did. But this is what happened elsewhere. That's what happened elsewhere. And he's trying to remind people, hey, throughout all kinds of historical bad things, Catholics perform the sacraments, even in pandemics in the past.
We cannot buy into the lie that the things we experienced during COVID were appropriate. Over the centuries, there have been great wars, great famines, and yes, even great diseases, all that came with a level of lethality and danger. But in each of those examples, church leaders leaned into their vocations and ensured that their people received the sacraments.
Now, I know if you're not a Catholic, it might be a little hard to wrap your brain around why this is such a big deal, because for you, going to church is good, is important, is something you're supposed to do and is a source of blessing in your life. But it's not essential in the way that it is for Catholics. For Catholics, getting together and actually receiving the sacraments, receiving the direct blessing of God through the approved mechanisms, that's what a sacrament is, of a priest, is essential to the faith. And to not do that, you know, is to not be practicing Catholicism, and so, and to not be receiving the presence of God in your life. And so for them, not having church services, not having the sacraments is a major problem for their practice of the faith. And so to have bishops to go along with the lockdown concept was really abandoning the faith, is what he's getting at. Okay. And again, I just all background context to kind of understand the perspective. So then came the part where he's, you know, kind of going to say things that are going to, it's what's been reported about, but I wanted to give you some of the background so you can kind of approach these comments with that in mind. All right. So on women.
For the ladies present today, congratulations on an amazing accomplishment. You should be proud of all that you have achieved to this point in your young lives. I want to speak directly to you briefly because I think it is you, the women, who have had the most diabolical lies told to you.
Okay, so here we go. And by the way, I really don't think he's going to say an awful lot here that's that controversial. Again, if you hang around with social, moral, religious conservatives, because it's really obvious to us that women have been lied to and told, particularly the lie, that the way you can have great happiness and success in life is to be, is to do all the things that men do and to do it as well as men do, and then you can really be a human being. And if you don't do all the things that men do, then you're not really going to be happy. You're not really going to be fulfilled and maximized and successful. And we think that men and women are actually kind of designed to do different things. Things they might do are similar sometimes. Things they might do might overlap sometimes. But, you know, God had a plan in making two genders, and it wasn't for them to both be interchangeable. That's the lie he's getting at, okay? So that sets the stage for...
How many of you are sitting here now about to cross this stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you are going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world.
Most of you in this Catholic university are excited about starting a family, which is probably true. Just if you think about, like, who's likely there, what their likely future plans are in life. Now, whether they're thinking about that right now or not, I don't know. I don't have a survey. But it's not an outrageous thing to make as a statistical claim that many of them will have thought about becoming a mother and a wife, and they're excited about that, and that will mean probably an end or a massive adjustment to the nature of their professional life, and so be it. And so that's what he said to begin with, and then he says,
I can tell you that my beautiful wife, Isabel, would be the first to say that her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and as a mother. I'm on this stage today and able to be the man I am because I have a wife who leans into her vocation. I'm beyond blessed with the many talents God has given me, but it cannot be overstated that all of my success is made possible because a girl I met in band class back in middle school would convert to the faith, become my wife, and embrace one of the most important titles of all, homemaker.
I'm playing the applause because I want you to hear what the audience to whom he's speaking thinks of his comments. Catholic speaker, Catholic university. How dare he praise his wife for choosing to be a homemaker? Egads, my pearls. You know, it's just so what? Well, wonderful. I mean, right?
She's the primary educator to our children. She's the one who ensures I never let football or my business become a distraction from that of a husband and father. She is the person that knows me best at my core, and it is through our marriage that, Lord willing, we will both attain salvation.
Okay, very normal thing to believe about a good wife who stays home and raises the kids and helps keep the family on track along with him so that, and again, the Catholic view of salvation is a little bit different than the Protestant view of salvation. It's kind of why there's Catholics and Protestants. But, you know, their view is you're never quite sure you've got it. That's why saints don't get named until after a confirmation of three miracles, after they're dead, for example, because you can't really be sure that somebody is saved until after the whole race is over. Protestants, of course, believe kind of the exact opposite, that salvation is something you are guaranteed of, cannot perform yourself into or out of. But just so I know Protestants hear this comment and like, oh my God, he thinks that you earn salvation. Well, I mean, that's a little bit of an uncharitable characterization of the Catholic viewpoint. But yeah, it is a difference between Catholics and Protestants. But okay, so he says, my wife is, you know, wonderful and proud of her choice.
I say all of this to you because I have seen it firsthand, how much happier someone can be when they disregard the outside noise and move closer and closer to God's will in their life. Isabel's dream of having a career might not have come true, but if you asked her today if she has any regrets on her decision, she would laugh out loud without hesitation and say, heck no.
He's telling a story about his experience and how it's been a blessing for her, for him, for their family. It's a very normal thing. So far that I've heard, he hasn't said a woman can't have a job. He's just saying that a lot of women of faith choose to raise kids as a vocation, as an expression of the purpose of God in their life, and are satisfied by it and happy about it. And it's a wonderful thing.
I'm hopeful that these words will be seen as those from a man not much older than you, who feels it is imperative that this class, this generation, and this time in our society must stop pretending that the things we see around us are normal. Heterodox ideas abound even within Catholic circles.
By the way, heterodox just means the advocacy of a viewpoint that is at odds with the standard doctrine. Orthodox is within the faith. Heterodox is contrary to the faith. It's not sexual. You might hear hetero something must be happening. No, it has nothing to do with sex. Okay, so anyway, just to clarify.
Heterodox ideas abound even within Catholic circles. For let's be honest, there is nothing good about playing God with having children, whether that be your ideal number or the perfect time to conceive. No matter how you spin it, there is nothing natural about Catholic birth control. It is only in the past few years that I have grown encouraged to speak more boldly and directly, because as I mentioned earlier, I have leaned into my vocation as a husband and father and as a man.
And again, I know for people who don't hang around Catholics much or don't hang around traditional moralists much, you might think, how dare he? Well, it's the problem is you just don't know enough, right? You might have no knowledge of Humanae Vitae, for example, this famous encyclical by Pope Paul VI from 1968 that is all about this. And this is very, very standard Catholic doctrine. Okay. There's nothing weird about this. Okay. And that's it. I mean, he went on to say that part of the problem we have in society is that there aren't enough men in the household and not enough fathers who do their job. You should be a man. You should do hard things. You should hang around with other men who push you and have a wife of faith, because that will help keep you on track. And then he got big applause at the end. That was it. That's the speech. Now, the reason I say it's not that great of a speech is only because I thought that, you know, structure-wise, content-wise, presentation, it was okay. He's not a professional speaker. He's a kicker. The reason it got attention, of course, is because people don't usually say this stuff out loud in these kind of environments, and because we've learned to suppress the views or, you know, learn to be coy or shy or, you know, don't rock the boat kind of stuff. And it's a little bit unusual for a commencement address, but again, not at a specifically Catholic university. It's just not that weird. So now the controversy is what? How dare he? How dare he what? Say many women are happier being homemakers? Say his wife is happier being a homemaker? That a homemaker is a calling of God? That being a mom and a wife is something you can do and satisfy the purpose of your life? How dare he? You know, like, that's why I said on Friday, I said, this is just such a nothing. Unless you ingest typical media, current American popular culture, and don't hang around with conservatives enough and have never even thought to question some of the things that have been promoted as normal, which has historically not really been the norm. 527 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
What's up?
I'm tired of feeling so bloated.
That used to be me. Then I got this.
Align Bloating Relief Plus Food Digestion. A probiotic, right?
Yeah, it works naturally with your gut to help soothe occasional bloating and gas. Plus, it has vitamin B12 to aid digestion by helping convert food to cellular energy. Two benefits, one capsule.
Align Bloating Relief Plus Food Digestion from the number one doctor-recommended probiotic brand. Learn more at AlignProbiotics.com.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hi, how you ladies doing this evening?
What do you drive?
Excuse me?
What kind of a car do you drive?
A Cavalier.
I have 29 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News Swingers Classic. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning. Former President Trump's New York trial resumes again today. Former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen expected to be on the witness stand again for more cross-examination. The Senate taking another stab this week at voting on a bipartisan border bill. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer announcing that vote Sunday in a Dear Colleague letter.
All right. We'll look forward to that. Also, as you mentioned earlier tonight, City of Milton is going to have the third meeting in a week. Egads. So much material. But tonight they're going to decide whether to have Ed Spears as the at least temporary city manager when Randy Jorgensen leaves in 3 months and whether to start his kind of on-the-job advanced training now. So should be funsies tonight in Milton.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Iran's president and foreign minister are confirmed to be among those killed in a helicopter crash. President Ebrahim Raisi was the country's highest elected official.
Iran's supreme leader is stressing the business of Iran's government will continue no matter what. The crash comes at a fraught moment in the Middle East with the war raging in Gaza and weeks after Iran launched a drone and missile attack on Israel in response to a deadly strike on its diplomatic compound in Damascus. Under the Iranian constitution, Iran's first vice president takes over if the president dies.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer. Vice President Mohamed Mokhtar is now acting president. A new election is supposed to be held within 50 days. Around 250,000 homes and businesses are still without power in and around Houston, Texas, since storms on Thursday.
We expect everyone to be back on by end of business Wednesday.
CenterPoint Energy spokesman Paul Locke. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now we do have partly cloudy skies. It is 70 degrees. Milton city leaders expected to hash out the future of the city manager's position when they hold a special meeting later this evening. Last week in a series of workshops, a majority of council members seemed to rally around the idea of promoting Ed Spears into that job, at least on a temporary basis, when interim manager Randy Jorgensen steps aside this August.
Because I am concerned about continuity. In the last 4 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, I have essentially called him in to every significant conversation I've had concerning city business.
And Jorgensen hired Spears as his assistant city manager last month. Another option would be to hire a headhunting firm to advertise for that job. However, Jorgensen expressed some skepticism that top candidates would be interested in the job. Escambia County shelters have now extended their adoption special they were running this month through the Bissell Pet Foundation. That's going to be extended now through the end of the month. With the special, adopting an older cat or dog is free. Puppies cost $50, kittens $25, and each adoption is subject to an $11 licensing fee for county residents as well. The Escambia County Shelter does say they've got over 100 dogs and dozens of cats that are ready to go to a new home right now. You can view a list of pets ready for adoption at 24petconnect.com. The shelter, located on West Fairfield Drive, if you'd like to have a look in person, they're open Monday through Friday from noon until 5. An investigation underway after a disturbing discovery in Miami-Dade. Police there say Horse remains were found on Saturday morning. Richard Kudo is the founder of the Animal Recovery Mission in Miami Beach. He says he believes that horse may have been killed for its meat, which can go apparently for as much as $40 a pound. The Red Cross trying to give Tallahassee residents one last thing to worry about as they recover from tornado damage. They used 5 mobile food trucks to pass out over 2,000 pounds of free meals yesterday. Residents there, they say, were grateful. It's 534 News Radio Pensacola, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast for this morning.
Warming up with lots of sunshine, that's the weather forecast as we head through the next couple of days. Here on Monday, we'll keep it in the mid to upper 80s across the area for high temperatures. Some spots could get into the lower 90s. Low temperatures will be in the 70s. High temperatures will continue in the mid to upper 80s for the remainder of the work week. No major chances for rain as high pressure builds across the Gulf Coast. That's your weather forecast for now. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer, reporting here at WEAR News.
And right now it is 70 in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, 68 in Milton. Your next news at 6. And breaking news anytime, I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
Paul Murray with Your Money Now. Google has asked that a judge, rather than a jury, decide whether it violated U.S. antitrust laws by building a monopoly on the technology that powers online advertising. The antitrust case, set to go before a jury in Virginia this September, is one of 2 major lawsuits the Justice Department has brought against Google. The Virginia case focuses on advertising technology, while an ongoing case in the District of Columbia focuses on Google's dominance as a search engine. Low-cost carrier Ryanair has reported its best-ever annual profit as passenger and revenue growth offset sharply higher operating costs. The Dublin-based firm said full-year profit after tax jumped 34% to roughly $2.1 billion and announced a $761 million share buyback program. Revenue rose 25% year-over-year as the airline served 184 million passengers. Futures are slightly higher. That's your money now.
This ad furnished by Nesma Taju LLC.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Uses directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Auto Trader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KelleyBlueBookKBB.com and AutoTrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
Uh-oh!
You've just discovered you have...
Ew! What do? How do you get rid of them? I haven't a clue.
To get rid of the rats is no problem at all. The solution's inside Davis Hardware and U-Haul.
Hi, how can we help you?
I have a rat problem.
Oh, rats.
Literally, what do?
Davis Hardware and U-Haul employees are real hardware people and know what happens when infestations get out of hand. They have the experience to help you get rid of your, uninvited guests.
Thank you.
Davis Hardware and U-Haul on L Street just off Fairfield in the center of Pensacola.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
What do you need, son?
Need to borrow your bow.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers!
Light them up.
They ain't gonna sink this battleship, no way.
Verify our range to target. One ping only.
What's the range now?
200 miles, sir.
They break 150 miles, launch the alert 5 aircraft.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing? You're slowing down! You're slowing down!
I'm bringing them in closer, Merlin.
You're gonna do what?
I got it. Good luck. Firing.
Woo! Splash four!
You been?
Started this on Friday. This is a project that is more than a year and a half in the making, just because I have been wanting to do this for forever. Here's my premise. Most people, and by that I mean you, most likely, unless you're in the military, and including me, don't know NAS Pensacola, NAS Whiting Field, Corps Station. Don't really know what goes on there. We kind of know the lighthouse, the museum, the Blue Angels, and we do something with pilots, you know, but beyond that, the massive, diverse, extensive operations on these local military bases is something that is a little bit opaque to the average civilian. And that's why I wanted to do a series where we would
welcome
meet your tenant commands, where we would, get to know what they actually do. And we started this on Friday with Captain Scott Janik. He's the commander of the Naval School of Aviation Safety, former Commodore of Training Wing 6, Naval Flight Officer. Mongo, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Welcome. Thank you, Andrew. Hello, team, and hello, friends and everyone in Pensacola. Great to be here. And a real quick aside, I got to say it. I grew up a little bit in Alaska. You do not want the bear. You don't want the bear. So anyway,
well
that was from early. If you haven't listened, you got to call back, but you do not want the bear.
Okay,
but,
so first question, it's great to be here. First question has nothing to do with the base. How'd I do on the stager?
Awesome. Loved it. A lot of stuff in Navy, ships, subs, aviation. I mean,
I tried to get all three.
Aviation,
that's what I tried
we,
to get all three.
We nailed it. We
all
nailed
right.
it.
Excellent. And that's your unit's theme song is Thunderstruck.
Yeah. So when I commanded VAQ-135, our call sign was Thunder. So whenever we'd be dressed and go fly, we'd play Thunderstruck to get everybody motivated.
So today I don't have you in specifically to talk about what you do for aviation safety, School of Aviation Safety Training. That's actually going to come several weeks from now.
Sure.
But I wanted to do two things with you before we even got into the particulars. And the first is, just for people who really don't know what the base does, what the operation is, probably the most common thing people believe is, well, there's a commanding officer, okay, Village, mm-hmm. Captain Terry Shashetti, who is the commanding officer for the base, and everybody works for him on the base, and all the commands report to him, and whatever they do, he's the big charge guy, and that's probably the most common misperception that people have. So what's the reality? What actually happens on the base? Give me the big picture.
Yeah, sure. And understandable, right? I mean, we're all in the Navy. We all wear uniforms.
You're all part of the same corporation, and Village is the big dog, right?
We all talk in acronyms, so it's right. challenging. But yeah, and Pensacola is very unique, and that's something, as you and I have talked about, but wanting to share with the listeners here in Pensacola, too, to do some education. And Whiting, Pensacola, even the town itself, good way to explain some of the stuff, right? So Village and then Captain Flores, party boy up at Whiting, base commanding officer. So similar in nature to Mayor Reeves, D.C. Reeves, in charge of the city, making things run, and that type of organization. But just like the city, all those businesses and people that live downtown in Pensacola don't necessarily report to D.C. Reeves as the mayor. They have their own business. They're running their own thing. Very similar here. And what really makes Pensacola unique is the grandness of the amount of commands, in particular in Pensacola. Whiting is more traditional with a lot of Navy bases. You have Captain Flores, the commanding officer of the base, running the base. And then you have the wing and doing the operations of pilot training up there. And that's under the Commodore, Fez Crockle, who you all get to hear and talk to in a couple of weeks. And so, two commands, one running the base, one running the mission. And there's some other probably smaller commands up there at Whiting, which, you know, I don't even track or know about. And then the smaller unit commands that fall under Fez primarily for training. Well, Pensacola, because of the training arm that is down here, in particular Naval Education Training Command under Admiral Cherico and all the efforts for enlisted training, and then you have all the aviation training that goes on there, and then the intelligence training, medical training, there's so much training that happens here in the hub of Pensacola. And it's around 17 06 tenant commands, so that's like
06
me.
Captain level like
I
you.
I have a captain level command. In fact, I've been lucky. Two back-to-back. So we got here in 2018. My lovely bride, Dana, and I moved down here in 2018 to be the Commodore, as you had mentioned. Did that for 3 years and then took over School of Aviation Safety in 21 and had that tour. So, but 17 different commands. And like my boss is up in Norfolk, Virginia. Naval Safety Command is. So I report to my boss up there. So yeah, the base commanding officers keep the base going. Village for us at Pensacola does a great job with that. But all these commands on base have our own mission, our own training set, own student population coming through. So we all work together in unison, just like the businesses in the city do, but not necessarily reporting to the same person.
And if it helps to make it a little bit more clear, because I know this is difficult for people to grasp, and then even within when we talk about all the acronyms, all the terms, all that's difficult for people to grasp, that's why we're doing this. Is you said there's how many 06 level?
Last count I had, it was 17.
17, okay.
And that includes Coast Guard. We have Coast Guard,
sure.
Cutters, and
armies
17 here,
captain
Air Force.
Level commands, and you wouldn't have captain level commands reporting to another captain.
You could.
I mean, maybe, but typically not so much. But in this case, they don't. They report to all their different places around the country.
Right.
And you also have an admiral in tenancy on the base. So that, you know, the admiral who's in charge, Cherico, who's in charge of Naval Education Training Command, is also just... is a business housed on the base.
Correct. Yeah, and Admiral Cherico,
and he certainly doesn't report to
Tennessee. I'd have to call the office. I think they're around, he's somewhere around 40-ish commands that report to him, six 06 command levels are here at Pensacola.
And we'll have Cherico on later on in this series. We'll talk to him as well, because all of this stuff is kind of to come.
Sure.
Today, I just wanted to get, the first main thing is to understand that all of these operations on board NAS Pensacola do not fall under the base itself. They
Correct.
Fall under all kinds of different command structures all over the country, depending on what they do. Captain Scott Janik, Mongo is his call sign. So what I want to do with you today, Mongo, is just give I want people to understand the aviation training pipeline, the process, because we don't. Even I don't. As much as I know, I still find it confusing, and that's why partly I want to do this series. So there are three different ways that somebody can get into pilot training, right? Three different kind of feeder sources.
Sure, yeah. So three commissioning sources, Naval Academy. Then you have Reserve Officer Training Corps, ROTC. That's the best commissioning source. I'd say that because that's how I got here.
So you went to Vandy. Villanova. You went to Villanova. You got a college degree, and you were in ROTC, and so that put you – to go into officer training.
So there I was an instant. And then the third one is if you go to college and you haven't made a decision yet, and then you decide later on, you know what, I want to join the Navy, then you can go and apply and get into officer candidate school, OCS. So those are the three feeders. And if you choose out of those, you can choose anything,
plus
feeder.
Enlisted can later go through the
Mustang
can program. Prior,
any of those programs are open for enlisted commissioning sources too. They can go to college, do a ROTC program, go to the academy, or apply to OCS and get in through different sources for enlisted, absolutely.
So you want to be a pilot, you go into the Navy, what happens?
Okay, so you have an initial selection, and that's where, like I said, I want
to
fly.
You go to boot camp first.
OCS is kind of boot camp because you're done. Naval Academy and ROTC, you do that throughout your college
experience.
That's
a part of the process, got it.
So like I commissioned on 19 May of 95 and graduated from college 2 days later. And I was down here in Pensacola in a month to start at Naval Aviation Schools Command.
Okay.
That's under Commander Arthur, who's up next week, I believe, with you.
Redman call sign.
Redman. And that program now is NIFE, Naval Introductory Flight Evaluation. Very, very basic stuff. So all those sources feed people. If you get aviation, either as a pilot program or a naval flight officer, and I'm a naval flight officer, so weapon systems, radar operation, co-pilot type things.
If there's two people in the plane, the front is the pilot, the back is the naval flight officer.
Most airplanes, generally. Helicopters, both are pilots, E-2s.
Fair enough.
Different airplanes sometimes in the front on the flight deck, they're both pilots. But tactical aircraft, Super Hornets like the Blue Angels fly, the two-seaters, if there's someone in the back seat, operational speaking squadrons, that's a naval flight officer.
The barest way we can explain it, Goose was an NFO.
Goose, NFO. And that's what hooked me. I grew up around the ocean, like I said, in Alaska, and my eyes were kind of bad. We didn't have Lasix back in the day, and I said, oh, I can go be a naval flight officer and still go to do this off an aircraft carrier. I'm hooked, so let me go do that.
So you go through NIFE.
Go through NIFE. So everybody goes through NIFE.
And
all
then
pilots,
there's a selection.
And then there's a selection. And that's Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard. All those pilots, international partners. So everybody goes through NIFE, and it's about 23 weeks.
Okay.
Basic navigation, basic engine work, learning our
weather
field. And then you go fly in Cessnas out of Pensacola International and Jack Edwards Field. So you get some basic flight experience in a Cessna. And then at that point, all naval flight officers stay here in Pensacola. They go right over to Training Wing 6, which is on base. So all the orange and white aircraft you see flying in and out of NAS are Training Wing 6 aircraft, training naval flight officers, and the orange and white T-45s, a little jet aircraft. And that's what the command I had from 2018 to 2021.
If they're not NFOs, they're going to become pilots?
Okay, now if we're going to pilot, we go one of two places, up to Whiting Field or over to Corpus Christi, Texas, and that's for primary training. So they're flying in the T-6, which is a two-seat propeller airplane.
The Texan.
The Texan.
They see flying overhead all the time.
Correct. And again, but that could be NFOs, right? I was going to plug the NFOs out of Pensacola. So everyone flies a T-6 for primary. But that, again, basic flight skills, learning how to fly an airplane. And then for a pilot, you hit another selection point. NFOs do also, but we stay in-house at Pensacola. For pilots, then it'll be determined if you're going to go fly jets, helicopters, or I refer to as big wing, but things like P-8s, E-2s, large aircraft. C-130s, you know, you name it.
So they go through a process to determine if they're going to fly jets, they're going to fly fixed wing, or they're going to fly helicopters. And then from there...
There they might move again, because all the helicopter training, so all those pilots might stay if they were started at Whiting. If they were at Corpus, they'll move back and go to Whiting, because all helicopter training is up at Whiting Field. If you're going to go to one of those big aircraft, multi-engine, then you go to Corpus Christi, that's where that training is. If you're going to go jets, it's either Meridian or Kingsville to learn how to fly jets. And so then you do your advanced stage, and at that point when you complete, you get your wings of gold. For naval flight officers, you do your primary stage. There is also selection. Are you going to go tactical aircraft? So in naval flight officer world, Super Hornets or Growlers like the airplane I flew. Or
an F-18 variant.
F-18 variant or big wing like the P-8, E-2. And so you'd go to one of two squadrons here at Pensacola to finish your training and get your wings here.
So let's stick with the pilot track for just a second.
Sure.
You get your wings, you're a pilot, you're going to fly jets.
Okay.
Where do you go now?
And this is the same with the NFO. So this is any winged aviator at this point. You go to a fleet replacement squadron. So that is a squadron that is charged with training aircrew that are now winged but have not yet flown that aircraft in the fleet. So
they've never been in an F-18 before.
So then you go
to... And now they're
going to
learn how to fly the F-18.
Yes, an FRS.
Or the P-2 or whatever.
Yep, you go and learn that airplane. And you start doing... That's where you start doing more mission sets, learning tactics, et cetera, but basically learning that aircraft that you're going to go fly in the fleet. And then you're off to a junior officer tour.
And then they call it fleet replacement squadron because you are preparing to move into the fleet and fly off the deck and do the... Or fly the helicopters for the Coast Guard.
Correct.
Or whatever it is, you then are going to go into that, and you're going to do that a couple of times, and then you might come back to be, what, a trainer?
A trainer. So that's what the path I took. I got my wings here in Pensacola, went up to Whidbey Island, which is where my fleet aircraft was, the EA-6B Prowler, and then a lot of that was life decision, meeting Dana. She was from Jacksonville, Florida, and we really were interested in coming down to Pensacola. So I came down, and here at Pensacola was a instructor at the Advanced Jet Training VT-86, that squadron that falls under Training Wing 6. So teaching my replacements, if you will, for the fleet. But then I stayed in, so went to follow-on tours subsequent to that, and then ended up screening to be the Commodore and coming back down to Pensacola.
And at some point in this process, your particular command comes into play because you train the safety officers, which are pilots who have already been deployed to a carrier, and now they're coming to become safety officers, which is an enhancement to that career, to that operational duty. And we'll talk about that later on in the path when we try to follow this through. That's what I wanted people to get. I wanted people to get, and I know it's a lot to digest. You know, this is like the 15th time I've heard this story, and I'm still learning things every time. So I know it's a lot to digest. But that was the reason I wanted to do this series, is I wanted you to understand the base. And for the aviation training, I wanted you to understand that process. You know, how do pilots become pilots, and how does that all work? And so, Mongo, fantastic job.
And, well, and you mentioned, if I could, real quick, Andrew, because it's about the base, and I know you're going to get to those folks, too. And we talked pilot NFO, because you're going to have those folks on next. But so many of our enlisted folks, anyone enlisted, Navy, Marine Corps, that are going to fleet squadrons, they come for boot camp. They also come down here. And that's such a big
arm. It's a huge operation on the base. We're just starting here because it was the convenient way to start.
Absolutely.
But we will get to all of them because that is an enormous part of what the base does.
But it completes that story when we walk around and people in Pensacola are proud to say the cradle of naval aviation. It truly is, because every officer, every enlisted folks that are going out to the naval forces, Navy, Marine Corps, aviation-wise, everyone has a touch point here at Pensacola.
Captain Scott Janik, Mongo, we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Thank you for helping me put this project together and being our first guest here on Navy Days, man. I appreciate it.
Loved it. Had a great time. And, yeah, next time I'll tell you a fun, unless you want a little tradition.
No, next time.
Navy tradition, okay. I'll tell you about a green light.
Absolutely. And I got so many people telling me how glad they were that we started doing this, that they learned stuff even in that very first overview. And I know that's going to be the case, as we're going to be covering this for the foreseeable future on Fridays at 7:35. So I'm very excited about that that feature. 5:55 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
PenAir Credit Union's new high-yield checking account helps members elevate their financial journey when they need it most. Earn 4% APY simply by enrolling in e-statements and making a deposit of $250 or more once a month. It's that simple. Get started online by visiting penair.org or visit one of our 12 convenient locations in Northwest Florida and South Alabama. It's okay to think big. PenAir's high-yield checking account pays up to 4% annual percentage yield with e-statement and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more. For details, go to penair.org/checking.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in, with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
May is Military Appreciation Month, and Jibbs Firearms is proud to honor our military. During the month of May, Jibbs Firearms proudly thanks our troops for their hard work, dedication, and commitment to fight for our freedom. Join Jibbs Firearms in saluting the men and women who serve in our United States military. Jibbs Firearms, on the corner of Blue Angel Parkway and Serrano Road in Pensacola. Stop by today or visit jibbsfirearms.net and sign up for one of their concealed carry classes. Jibbs Firearms, they truly are the best in town.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world, but what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. Today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
What's the code?
Unit, Corps, God, Country.
I beg your pardon?
Unit, Corps, God, Country. Sir.
I will say one observation was kind of fun. Both Jimmy and I noticed it is that that intro to the Know Your Tenant Commands, Meet Your Tenant Commands, Mongo was silently lip voicing all of the lines from Battleship and from Top Gun. At least I know from Top Gun, I think from Battleship too. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the big news this morning, I think Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi is dead, according to Iranian state media. They say a helicopter carrying Raisi and eight other people, including the Iranian foreign minister, crashed yesterday. The search was ongoing for the last day or so, and no signs of survivors is what they're saying.
Yeah, it's big news, obviously, because they've already appointed what the vice president to take over is what it looks like. And that was a massive search yesterday. We didn't know for sure what had happened, but it looks like that is, you know, what happened, which, of course, raises speculation about how that could happen.
Right.
And, you know,
and what their reaction will be.
Right. And what this will mean for the region, you know, all of that. So, yeah, this is definitely the big just top line news story for the day is the transition of power in Iran. Right.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.